Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, that was Real Talk with Roddy Nabulsi of UGASports.com. And that was very, very funny about Kirby Smart sliding into the DMs of these recruits. And, you know, it's obviously all for the sake of football. But iTunes, 929thegame.com if you want to hear that interview again. And, John, we ran out of time with Roddy. I did have a question for him, though. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, when I asked him about what's Kirby's secret sauce, and he mentioned how relentless he is and that he can text and that, you know, he's contemporary. And I'm wondering, like, and Roddy said that Kirby looks at a commitment like it means nothing.
Right.
And goes in and tries to flip these kids to Georgia, and he's very successful at it. I wonder if those tactics are making Kirby Smart unpopular with other coaches
probably.
In the SEC.
Yeah, probably.
You know what? If you're Tennessee and you get, like, Tennessee commits flip to Georgia – you're probably not liking Kirby Smart very much right now. And you know what, John? I love that.
Yeah, guess what? A lot of people don't like Nick Saban. A lot of people didn't like Bobby Bowden in coaching circles because those were notorious closers. On signing day, I remember Florida State for a long time. Florida State would be the program that would be, you know, 12th, 13th, good class. And then signing day, Bobby Bowden would walk in, well, and he'd do his old Southern charm. And the next thing you know, they'd go from 12th to 3rd. And they'd have five stars at the last second that flip. Nick Saban walks in and just, he's like Debo in the movie Friday. Give me your chain. He wants your commitment. Give me your commitment. And all you do when Nick Saban does that, you go, yes, sir. Let me go ahead and sign this paper. And I'm sending little Johnny to come play ball at Alabama. If Kirby Smart has become that, Georgia is in a great position. And judging by yesterday, they have become that. I said this yesterday. I want to ask you guys. I know we're efforting Hugh Douglas, but again, he's either dressed as the eagle or he's spraying people with champagne.
Well, here's the thing. Before, the phone was actually ringing, but then it would go to voicemail because it wouldn't pick up. Now the phone's not even going through.
Yeah, there's no like contact. Hundreds of thousands of people. So we're going to eschew Hugh Douglas, who is up at the parade. 2 million people are there.
Well, they closed schools and government offices
as they should.
And museums and all that stuff today.
They should do that. And we're going to have something in the 1 o'clock hour. We may even
start now.
Yeah, or yeah, we could just start the conversation now. I want to ask you guys 404-741-0929, phone or Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Philadelphia acted a complete fool when they won the Super Bowl. I mean, we've talked about people eating poop. We've talked about people falling off, doing the trust fall off the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, the canopy collapse at the Ritz-Carlton. They were looting, they were pillaging, they were just acting like crazy people that won a Super Bowl. I ask you, would Atlanta be more civilized? Do you think that this city would act better if the Falcons win this? Had the Falcons won the Super Bowl last year in Houston, Texas, would it have been nice and calm down Peachtree Street, or would there have been glass being broken, bottles thrown everywhere, fights, arrest? Would all of that have happened here in Atlanta?
Look, John, I'm going to break this down, and again, we're going to take your calls on this. I heard, and I believe this was Monday, so overnight, Sunday into Monday, 76 mm-hmm. arrests for partying because of the celebration.
Right.
That's a lot.
The Bible, I have about eight of the top ones that they released.
Nice. Yeah.
So the story and
what
they
and
did.
What they were arrested for.
Awesome. Can't wait for that. That'll come up at 1240.
Was nudity an arrestable offense?
Tune in and find out.
Okay.
John, just I'll give you the simple answer and then I'll explain. No, Atlanta would not roll like Philadelphia. Now, would there be some knuckleheads in Atlanta that tried to tip over cars and threw, you know, something through a plate glass window to loot? Yeah, maybe. I don't think there would be nearly as much of that down here as there is up in Philadelphia. For one very simple reason. We are more intelligent than the overall Philadelphia Eagles fan and the overall Philadelphia human being. We are more intelligent. And if you're saying, how can you say that, Kamala? I spent 6 years in the Northeast. I spent time in Philadelphia. I know Philadelphia. I don't know it like I know Atlanta or Minneapolis, but I'm very familiar with Philadelphia. Even more familiar with New Jersey, even more familiar than that with New York City, specifically Manhattan. And I just know that there is an overall lack of intelligence with a lot of the cavemen and cavewomen that do the stupid stuff that we have seen on television. And, you know, John, on Twitter, they put out a little rip of like 4.5 minutes of, you know, Philadelphia fans doing Philadelphia fan stuff in the wake of the celebration. And it's some embarrassing stuff. It's just it's lowbrow, low intelligence stuff. And I think we're more intelligent than they are up in Philadelphia, John. That is why I don't believe we would roll that way.
I don't disagree with a lot of what you said about Philadelphia. It seems like they are not even a little. They're a lot angrier as people than you are here in Atlanta. But I think this city would go absolutely insane. Maybe not to the violence level of what we've seen coming out of Philadelphia. But, I mean, let's be real. This city is so starved for a championship. And I know the Georgia Swarm won. There were no parades for the Georgia Swarm. And Mark Owens works with them. I actually worked with them for an entire season.
Was there a float? Did they even get a float?
I think they had a party at a restaurant or something. I'm not even sure.
Like a Chuck E. Cheese?
No, it's a little better than that. Okay. I mean, they're good
Sizzler?
People. Maybe.
They had a couple of big bar parties, and mm-hmm. they take the trophy around. They're actually getting recognized at the there's a sports award gala coming up.
Yeah.
So they're going to get recognized. But I think the dividing line is, if there's a parade, it counts as a city championship.
Mm-hmm.
The Swarm, while bringing a championship to the city, didn't constitute it. You're proud of it. You can get your championship gear, but I think parade is the drawing line.
And I think it being so starved, and it's now, 23 years since the Braves won a World Series? This place, especially for the NFL, Hawks win a title, yeah, it's going to be a lot more civilized. I think if Georgia would have won a title, it would have been nuts, especially with the game being here, but I think it would have more been a celebration. 37 years, we finally win a championship. I think if the Falcons win a title, the first in franchise history, this place is going bananas.
But do you see, like, every car that is parked on the side of a street being turned over and set on fire?
No, but I absolutely think there would be fires started down here. It's just, unfortunately, it's a human nature at this point. When teams win, fans do stupid things. I don't care how classy you think our city is, and our city is classy to an extent. There will still be meatheads that will be out there and be like, dude, I'm setting this trash can on fire and I'm throwing it through the window. And that's going to happen.
I would say, and I agree with that. There would be some knuckleheadery here in Atlanta if the Falcons win the championship or
the
Braves or whatever.
Can we put that in the Camlet Dictionary?
Knuckleheadery. It will
happen. Can we get
happen.
A definition and a pronunciation?
So knuckleheadery is doing knuckleheadery stuff. Anyway, John, I don't know what the hell I'm saying. I want to ask you this. I want to try to put this into like a math equation. So if the Eagles fans right now are at 100% knuckleheadery for what they're doing and setting their town on fire, I believe that we'd be at 25% of that 100%.
Oh, no. I'm bumping that to about 60%.
See, I think we're – you said it. Like, I talked about the intelligence level. You talked about the anger level. The anger's off the charts up there in Philadelphia. So when you merge that with ignorance, you get a lot of that stuff. People aren't really angry down here in Atlanta. I mean, maybe I'm out of touch. Maybe I'm tone deaf. Well, let's put it this way. They're certainly angrier as the masses up in Philadelphia than down here in Atlanta. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right, so let's try to put like a percentage on that. If you guys want to take the bait on that, you can. I've got us at about 25% of the knuckleheadery of Philadelphia. You say it's about 60.
60. Oh,
right,
yeah.
Let's go around the room, see what M.O. and Preacher
have to
say about that.
What do you think the knuckleheadery percentage is compared to Philadelphia and Atlanta?
Comparative? I'm going to say we'd be about, 60 to 75%. I think that we have some asterisk class. I don't think we'd be eating horse poo and dancing on top of the awning at the Four Seasons, nor do I think we'd be flipping Priuses on the middle of Peachtree.
Yeah, again, we don't
drive
Priuses.
But that's the knuckleheadery of which we speak.
But that's where the drawing line is. I don't think there would be borderline riots, but there would be drunken mess and fools riding, car surfing down Peachtree. I'm not talking drunk. I mean drunk all throughout the city. I just don't think it reached the level of riot-esque.
I got a feeling that 75-85, the connector, would probably be shut down with people just marching through the middle of downtown Atlanta. Maybe you get it in a freaknik sort of way, and 285 is just shut down and people are dancing on top of cars. I mean, that's what you're going to see. I don't know that we would set the city on fire, but again, there would be some knuckleheadery where people would be going, and that word's going to be part of the vernacular here. on 92.9 The Game.
Preacher Man, give me your percentage on the knuckleheadery here in Atlanta versus Philadelphia. Philadelphia, setting their town on fire, is at 100%. Where would Atlanta be?
I would go 60, 65%.
All right, so I'm on Camel Island again here. Am I giving Atlanta too much credit?
What did you say? I mean, I was taking phone calls.
Yeah, I said 25%. John said 60. MO said like 60 to 70. So you're in line with these guys.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Let me ask you guys, what would you guys do with as far as Falcons win the Super Bowl? Now, I'll be working, hopefully. So I'd be on the field and dealing with all of that stuff. But Falcons win the Super Bowl, what's your level of celebration?
Let me answer that in one second. Super quick breaking news right now. The Lakers reportedly are going to send Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. to the Cavaliers. Mm. All right, so that is, we don't know what would be going back to L.A. That is a lot of talent right there. Clarkson and Nance going to the Cavs. Maybe we gave up on them too soon. What did you just ask me, John? I'm sorry.
What would you do?
What would I do?
Yeah.
John, you know what I would do? I am too old to, like, let's say I'm watching the Super Bowl at my house or your house or at a Super Bowl party. Mm-hmm. I'm too old to drive down into the center of the party and the hubbub. I'm too old for that. I got a radio show that, you know, at 10 a.m. I got to be here at 9. I got to wake up at 7. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I would not rush down to Midtown or Buckhead or whatever to join in all the on-street partying. I'm just too old for that. I would welcome everybody else to do that and party the night away, but I would be very content, very satisfied, very happy, but I would not join that party.
We got a Vision Computers Twitter poll up. Mark Owens on our show page at Rick and John 929.
Go vote on this one. Would Falcon fans react the same way the Eagles fans did after winning the Super Bowl, i.e. flipping cars, bonfires in the streets, and eating horse poo? Your options are no.
I know, it's gross.
Except you put bin fires. I'm not sure what bin fires are, but that's okay.
No, a bin fire is when you get a bin full of flammable objects and you put a match to it. Okay. That was, yeah, knuckleheadery. Knuckleheadery right there. No, option one, no, we have some class. Yes, as we should. Or your final option, drunk yes, riot no.
We've got people that have said they will run down the streets naked.
I'm not mad at that.
No.
Actually, I'm kind of mad at that. Especially if you're a big, fat, hairy dude. I'd
dude,
be mad at
you
that.
You win a championship, go naked.
I do think when Georgia wins a national championship,
you got to. I like how you said when. You got to get past Austin Peay.
When. You can't look past the G-Day game. When Georgia wins a national championship, I think Athens is going to be a mess because you've got a bunch of drunk college kids up there. So I think Athens will be borderline riot-esque. When Georgia wins a national champion, when the Falcons win a Super Bowl, it's just going to be a drunken party throughout the entire, you name every zip code and there's a perimeter, and it's going to be crazy.
I just don't understand. The greatest thing in your life just happened, and you want to tear up your city. Like, I don't understand that. So let's go to the streets, man. Hey, John, let's bring in our boy Jeremiah right here. Jeremiah, would Atlanta party and celebrate as violently and as stupidly and as knuckleheadery as Philadelphia if the Falcons won the championship? Jeremiah, get in here.
You're damn right they would. We just as hungry as they are. Let them people have it. I know these crazy folks all over the damn place. Let them eat horse crap if they want to. I mean, yeah, Atlanta would. Come on.
No, I totally agree, Jeremiah. We would go. I think back to last year going to the Super Bowl.
That dude is so perfectly salty.
Oh, yeah.
He is so perfectly salty.
I mean, think about how many people were at Atlantic Station just to wave to the buses when we left. There were people hanging off of I-85 over the banner or hanging banners off. Had Atlanta won the Super Bowl last year, we would have came back to rubble. It would have been the city on fire. It may not have been as bad as Philadelphia, but we would have been there. We'd have been close.
And you just said it. You think it would have been about 60% of the knuckleheadery up there in Philadelphia. I say 25.
I love that word, by the way.
Let's get Tyler in Woodstock here. Tyler, give me the percentage. If Philadelphia is at 100% knuckleheadery, where would Atlanta be? Would it be, like I say, 25? Or what these guys say, more like 60 or 70% of what's going on in Philly?
I look at it like this. Philly has a lot more density in the city of population. They got like 1.5 million people. Atlanta is right around like 500,000 or under. With that many people in one area in Philly, you got a lot more chances of knuckleheadery going on and a lot of crazy stuff to happen. So I'm going to go with more like 15 to 20%. I think it's more like a New Year's Eve,
like countdown party, the kind of like underground and all the parties and stuff like that. I think now if UGA were to win, Athens will go nuts like Philly just because it's a college town and you got college kids, which means dumb decisions.
Okay. You know, the college kids absolutely would go crazy. Georgia would have won the national title this year. Athens would still be partying right now, and it would have nothing to do with signing day.
I just finished making payments on my couch. I'm not going to burn the couch. The college kids are using their dad's futon from 1975. They can burn that one.
Super quick, little breaking news here. We were wondering who would be going from the Cavs to the Lakers in this reported trade.
Whoa.
Isaiah Thomas, bye-bye. Channing Frye going out west to the Lakers, and Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. going to the Cavaliers, according to reports. That,
wow,
my friend, is a blockbuster on trade deadline day, and I'm excited about it.
Well, LeBron GM is very happy. We'll come back, continue this conversation. What would Atlanta do? Can we make a bracelet out of that? WWAD. What would Atlanta do? I had to think about that. That's next during the NFL Bounce on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We won the Go game! Eagles! Go Eagles! Woo!
Can't do anything better than a working class city that was the underdog that brought it home, man.
Woo!
All right, I'm just going to play it straight. Rick Hamlin, John Michaels, back here in the Kia Studios on the home of the Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we're back. We're going to take some calls here.
No, what do we know?
We're trying to gauge the knuckleheadery that would go on here in Atlanta if our Falcons, pardon me, when our Falcons win the Super Bowl, okay? Because up in Philadelphia, they went total ham on the city. Burned it to the ground. I'm kidding. But a lot of stuff went on up there, obviously. Violence, destruction of property, all that stuff. I'm saying that I have faith in Atlanta, man. I think we are smarter than the cavemen and cavewomen up there in Philadelphia. John played the anger card, and certainly they're more angry than we are down here. Mm-hmm. So I've got it. If Philadelphia is at 100% knuckleheadery, I've got us, after winning a championship, at 25. John and Mark and Paul have it at about 60 or 70%
yep.
of what's going on in Philly. So we're going to take it to the streets and see what y'all think.
Yeah, it would be bananas here. I just judged by 2012, getting to the NFC title game, the crescendo that was about to be reached, and then unfortunately they came up 10 yards short. I think about last year, the crescendo that was about to be reached, and I can only imagine what the bars and stuff were like here, because I was already, I was in Houston, didn't get a chance to see. I can only imagine that people would have taken to the streets and just acted bananas. You know, the one thing, you think about New Year's. New Year's is fairly subdued here in Atlanta. There's parties and, you have the peach drop and there's hundreds of thousands of people. You got 2 million people at the Philadelphia parade today. What do you figure there'd be at a championship parade here in Atlanta? A mil five? A million?
It's tough
depending on if they let you out of school and work.
It's tough to say. I mean, what do we have? 6 million people here in greater Atlanta city and suburbs,
sure,
and everything.
At least.
I'm going to say at least a million. 1.5, maybe not 2 million. I don't know, though. It's tough to gauge. But 2 million crazy Philadelphians all in the same place? What could go wrong?
2 million crazy Atlantans dealing with traffic just to get down here to sit at a parade? That's the one time I like a parade. The Macy's Day nonsense, you guys could have that. 92.9 The Game on the back of a fire truck, just throwing out T-shirts and book bags and who knows what. Doing like beer bong and doing everything. Oh, we'd be nuts.
We would be nuts.
Doing like a mobile show. Hey, we're live here at the parade. Rick Kamla just stage dived onto a group of listeners. It's awesome.
And they let him crash to the ground. Now he's going to the hospital, and he's got paramedics working on him. All right, let's go to Jared in Atlanta. Jared, what percentage of the knuckleheadery up in Philadelphia would go on here in Atlanta when our Falcons win the championship? What says you, Jared?
Hey, guys. I've got to go with you. I'm going to say 20-25%. I don't really think we would act the fool like the Philadelphians would, but the real reason I was calling in is I don't see Atlanta folks bringing anywhere near 2 million people out for a parade. I don't see it here.
I tend to disagree with that one only because they haven't won a championship. Philly, the Eagles fans are going this crazy because they hadn't won a Super Bowl. If Atlanta gets off that schneid and they win a Super Bowl, it's going to be the first ever So I said, if the Hawks win a title, I don't think there's as many people that would go crazy for an NBA championship as they would for an NFL. If the Braves win again, not as many people would go as crazy. For an NFL Super Bowl, people would go bananas here.
It is. It's hard to even fantasize about, you know, I love the Hawks. It is hard to fantasize right now with the current state of the team, hard to fantasize about the Hawks winning a championship and what that celebration would look like.
They did just make a trade.
Okay, I don't think we can go to the air with it.
No, it's actually all over the internet.
Oh, it is now. Yeah, all right, hit me and the peeps with that trade with our Hawks.
Well, the Hawks just made a trade. They are sending Luke Babbitt back to Miami for Akaro White.
I like Akaro White.
Not a bad player.
But Luke
Babbitt.
That
doesn't really move the meter, does it?
Nope, not at all.
Back to the Super Bowl.
What moves the needle is the trade between Cleveland and the Lakers, where Larry Nance Jr. and Jordan Clarkson are going to Cleveland. A first-round pick, Cleveland's late first-round pick, going to the Lakers, along with Channing Frye and Isaiah Thomas. And we had Steve Kyler on from Basketball Insiders earlier in the show. Go to iTunes or 929thegame.com. I asked him about the icy relationship between LeBron James and Isaiah Thomas, and he said it's worse than you think. Dot, dot, dot. And now Isaiah Thomas, an hour later, is traded. So that's what you get here on the Midday Show with Rick and John.
Well, we know where LeBron's not going next year. He ain't going to the Lakers.
There you go.
That one is out the window. Hey, Isaiah Thomas is there? I won't be going there.
Well, Isaiah might not be there. He's on a expiring contract.
Okay.
So maybe he's there, maybe he's not. And it's obviously a double up with Lonzo Ball already being there at the point guard for L.A., but those are the purple and golds problems.
Let's go to Pat in Southwest Atlanta. Pat, how crazy do you think it would be?
Man, I really think it would be straight pandemonium and buffoonery. Like, seriously, guys, like, I'm 26. And most of my generation, we haven't experienced a championship in this city. Like other people that's older than us, they have. And those are the ones that you got to count for that's going to act the fool. Not only that, we shut the city down when we just had a little ice. And when the president came through, you don't think they're going to shut the city down when the Atlanta Falcons win the first Super Bowl ever? Come on. Our guy's tripping.
No, I'm with you. It would be bananas. I like that he added another one to the Rick and John-isms, buffoonery. I like that to go along with knuckleheadery.
I think buffoonery is actually a word, though.
I think it is.
Knuckleheadery definitely is not a word. It is here.
We can get that in the dictionary
on the Midday Show. Well, if irregardless is in the damn dictionary, I think we could get knuckleheadery.
It's a great word.
What is?
Irregardless. It's a great word.
You like that word?
I do.
It used to drive me nuts. It doesn't drive me nuts anymore.
What words drive you nuts?
Untracked. Like, as in, he needs to get untracked. Like, if a guy's not playing well, he needs to get untracked. When he's already untracked, if you're 0 for 8 from the field in a basketball game, that drives me crazy.
What about unabated? Do you like that one?
He's
unabated to the quarterback.
Not a big fan of that. Also, when they say he re-aggravated something, you just aggravate it. You why do you have to put the re there? Like, it's an aggravation.
He had already aggravated, so he's re-aggravated.
Well, then just keep adding re-hyphen. Give me a break. All right, back to our story.
Let's go back to the phone. Let's go to Drew in Atlanta. Drew, do you think we'd be worse than Philly or better?
Moist.
What's going on, man? Look, y'all crazy.
Rick is look, on man. One today for a whole different reason.
Okay, well, look, man, I'm from Atlanta, man, born and raised. I'm 27. And people got to remember, man, they don't have to freak me here anymore because of one reason. We was too wild. And just in general, when we beat the Saints, we go crazy. Like, it is. If we Atlanta is going to have a whole different type of crazy than Philly. I feel like we're going to be at 110%. Y'all got to understand the type of culture. MC Hammer, he'll probably come back and dance in the street. All the old retired strippers that used to strip back with street will probably come back out. Strippers are going to be out stripping. Everybody's going to be tipping. The hip-hop culture is going to run Atlanta. And I feel like they're going to have free concerts throughout the whole parade on each block, on each street, on each highway. It's going to be crazy.
That's dope. Hey, Drew, don't leave. Drew. I'm with you on the partying and the craziness and on the let's blow the roof off of this thing. But how about the violence, the destruction of property, turning over every car that they can? Do you think that would happen in Atlanta?
If y'all can remember when we lost to San Francisco and a fan stabbed a San Francisco fan, it's going to be crazy. Atlanta, if anything's liable to happen, that's how I feel. I feel like there's no bar on what's possible to happen, whether it's violence, nonviolence. I feel like the bar is high because it's going to be unexpected.
Let's hope the violence doesn't really kick in. I'm not up for stabbing people or punching people or, you know, burning cars or flipping them over. Leave that part out of it. Party, drink, fall over, act stupid, eat poop if you want to. Just enjoy it.
Well, the cool thing is we don't have horse poop in our streets.
True.
Here in Atlanta. So they have it in New Orleans, I guess. Is that why John Fricke calls it Stinky Town? Because, or is it when you walk down the French Quarter down there on Bourbon Street, it smells like poop. It smells like one gigantic blunt mixed in with a little bit of poop.
Brandon and Lindell text in our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line and said, John, if the Falcons won the Super Bowl, I'm going to the Atlanta Zoo. I'm going to spring a tiger loose, and I'm riding the cat down the middle of the connector, parking it at Twin Smokers Barbecue for lunch. Hashtag That's felony awesome. City. Yeah, punching a horse, riding a tiger. I mean, it worked out in the movie Hangover. They took the tiger back to the hotel. I'm not sure, unless you've got some Quaaludes and a trank gun maybe, that you're going to be able to get a tiger loose from the Atlanta Zoo.
It's so funny. We're talking about the celebration, theoretically, and this Isaiah Thomas trade. One of the top headlines on ESPN this morning was Isaiah Thomas saying, I don't want to be traded. Yeah. I'm tired of being traded. 3-2-1. He's been traded again. And maybe if you weren't such an outspoken jerk with a team you just got to, you might still be there. Dude, how dare Isaiah Thomas throw Tyronn Lue under the bus like he did? He savaged his coach, and a day later he's traded.
I wonder
the way it should be.
What I really wonder is, how does LaVar Ball feel about this? Because now the guy that's going to have the ball in his hands most of the time is not going to be his son.
Okay, Lonzo Ball, get back to work. He is killing me in fantasy basketball.
Not good. This injury,
it's another setback. Dude, his body ain't right. His body's not even close to ready for the rigors of an 82-game schedule.
You know, I'm right there with him. My left shoulder, we've been working out a lot hard. Like, they've upped the ante at 9-Round Fitness, a lot of pad work, a lot. My left shoulder feels like somebody punched me repeatedly. And, oh, by the way, our jerk of a president behind the glass, I said, man, my shoulder's killing me. It would really hurt if somebody punched me. Who walks up and punches me right in the shoulder? President Owens. And that's who you guys voted for.
Why would you do that?
I don't want him to get soft. You got to be prepared. As your president, I always want your head on a swivel, always prepared for what's going to come at you.
All right, let's take one more call here. Adam in Gainesville. Adam, what percentage of the knuckleheadery in Philly would we be doing down here in Atlanta if the Falcons won it all?
All right, listen, I'm going to go lower. I'm going to say about 30%. I'm not saying people aren't going to go crazy. One thing we do have down here in the South that nobody else has is Southern Mamas. And they will beat the tar out of you if they see a viral video of you tearing up someone else's stuff. They are not scared to beat you. Trust me.
Appreciate it. Yeah, Southern Moms will come in and they'll take care of business. From the Bible, coming up next with the Preacher Man. He's got a grin on his face. Maybe.
Like I said, we'll update the...
Can I get a hallelujah, baby? It's From the Bible with the Preacher Man on the Midday Show with Rick and John. Throwing our midday party. And coming up right around the bend, we're going to do an NBA fast break in the 1 o'clock hour, talk about this L.A. And Cleveland trade. And Preacher Man, let's get right to it. Let's get to some of the sordid tales of the knuckleheadery up in Philadelphia.
Well, first, we'd like to thank Dunn Waterproofing for their sponsorship of From the Bible. Dunn Waterproofing Restoration, get it done with Dunn. Call 770-4-FLOODS, Dunn Waterproofing. All right, so these are basically the, I guess, the top eight that they've released as far as idiots during the Eagles' Super Bowl celebration in Philadelphia. Now, one and two are combined. I guess they did this together. Robert Ellers and Brendan Lopez, they were busted for allegedly spray-painting graffiti in multiple locations, including the University of Pennsylvania, Chestnut Law School, and a wall at a loading dock.
I mean, that's good, clean fun, right? For Philadelphia, a little graffiti, a little paint. That's good, clean fun,
see,
right?
I think the problem was he said law school and University of Pennsylvania. If they would have done it just at the loading dock and maybe under a bridge, they probably wouldn't have been arrested. Just saying.
All right, number three, Malcolm Cox. He was busted for throwing a beer bottle at a police car. Mm. He ran but was caught, charged with aggravated assault, simple assault, and related offenses.
Yeah, that's not good. You're throwing a beer bottle. We got on the fans of Philly for throwing full beer bottles at Minnesota Viking fans before the NFC Championship. You're throwing it at a police car. What do you think's going to happen?
So, Preacher Man, the cop is like, throws his hands up. Like, Are you serious? I don't want to bust you. Can we just
the
have
cop's a, like, what? I got to run now?
I got to run after you. Wait, like, you stupid idiot for throwing anyway. So what else you got?
All right, Mark Thompson, he was busted for allegedly beating the blank out of a cameraman who was trying to document the chaos, allegedly punched the photog in the face 6 times and smashed the camera. He was charged with aggravated assault.
Why would he do that? Why wouldn't you want to be memorialized or whatever, or immortalized through film? Like, maybe NFL Network would be running that, and there you are. Ah, I'm a caveman. We just won the Super Bowl. Why wouldn't you want that?
He was on the lean. And the Molly.
And the scissor.
Maybe. All of the above. I don't know why
favorite.
You would do that. Like, you got to be pretty high, drunk, or both.
And punched a dude in the face 6 times?
6 times and broke the camera.
And broke his camera. Man. All right.
Those cameras ain't cheap either.
Nope. Hell. Neither are faces.
He's on the lean.
Exactly. And the Molly. Don't forget that one as well.
Ruben Garrido was busted for...
Why'd you have to do an accent when you said the man's name? You couldn't just say Ruben Garrido? He said,
got to roll the R's.
He said, Ruben Garrido.
He was busted for removing his belt during the celebration, swinging it over his head, clocking a guy who was next to him, causing a laceration. When cops approached him, he was still holding his belt, charged with simple assault and recklessly endangering another person.
I mean, he just screwed up. He went a little buck wild, and he hit a dude in the face with his belt buckle. To me, that's barely an arrestable offense.
That's a hell of a lot less egregious than beating up the cameraman and breaking his camera.
Definitely.
Now, did his pants stay on? That's probably a part of the story that's more important.
You would want to know that, John.
It's not in the story. It's not in the little blurb that was assigned to him.
Like, what makes you say, here's a good idea? How about take your shirt off and swing it around? Didn't Petey Pablo teach you guys anything?
We talked about the lack of intellect up there in Philly, John.
Like, why didn't you just grab your shoes in that case and swing them by the shoelaces? I mean, that would be about as smart as taking your belt off.
All right, I'm having fun with this. What else?
All right, Alexander Mashu, he was busted for drunkenly banging on police shields and then bull-rushing officers on the police line. He was charged with disorderly conduct.
That's all he got?
That's all he got.
So you can walk up to the police guy that's got the riot shield
and bang on his
shield. Uh-huh. Disorderly conduct, he was probably out in like 10 minutes. They were probably mad they had to do the paperwork for
him. Like, you just pay me now. It's all right.
Yeah, dude. All right, give me $100 and I'll let you go and stop banging on my shield.
Hilarious. I mean, who?
No, sir, you cannot hold my gun.
Like, I don't get looting, right? I don't get turning over cars, but I get that more than I get bum-rushing cops. What do you think that's going to get you? Other than a billy club upside the ear. I don't get it. Preacher man, what's up?
You can do this the whole segment. This
I've only
is
got
awesome.
Two more, but we're
going to keep going. Well,
take your time. Going. All right. Vizna Sari was busted for throwing.
I thought he said these nuts.
Yeah, that's what I thought he said.
No, Vizna.
Vizna Sari. Vizna Sari.
Yes, exactly. Busted for throwing a bottle at a car that turned out to be an unmarked police vehicle. Oops. When arrested, they saw he had injuries from a fight prior to police contact.
Of course,
he was hospitalized and later charged with criminal mischief and the propulsion of a missile.
Wait, this John, help me out. Were there Giants fans and Cowboys fans and Redskins fans at this Eagles party? Why are Eagles fans beating each other up after they won the Super Bowl?
I just don't know why they would. Why are you throwing a perfectly undrank bottle of beer? Drink the beer, throw it in the trash can.
Well, who are you to give advice on beer drinking, John?
Well, because I know those people, meaning Philadelphians, like to drink beer.
Yes, they do. In large quantities.
Yeah, and just don't throw the full bottle.
All right, so is this the big finish right here? Is this the last one?
The last one on the list.
Coup de gras.
All right, so John Rigsby, he was busted for helping to flip a 2017 Nissan Rogue SUV during the mayhem, along with 6 others. The others have not been arrested yet. Rigsby is the son of Villanova basketball announcer Whitey Rigsby, who was charged with causing and risking a catastrophe, criminal mischief, riot, and related offenses.
Okay, if you want to flip over like a 77 El Camino that's just kind of taking up space in the street, maybe I get. Why are you flipping over somebody's brand new Nissan Rogue?
And why was that the only guy that got busted?
Because everybody else,
apparently they all ran and he was foolish enough to be standing there.
Yeah, he was still trying to hold on like, come on, guys, we got,
Okay, not tomorrow, because tomorrow's Slice of Life is Ask Us Something About Anything on Extraordinary, whatever the hell the name of that is. We have to do a Slice of Life on our tales of running from the cops. because your boy, I have
that's
been
going to take more than one.
Nope.
I have been ridiculously successful at running from the cops. And the key is the cops. Well, at least the cops where I grew up in suburban Minneapolis, they did not want to chase you. They did not. They were not up to the exercise.
In
they
South
just,
Florida,
let them go.
They were trying to hit you like the cops hit Baker Mayfield.
It was a little softer up in Minneapolis. Yeah,
you had to have some cutback ability.
Yeah, the MPs, they had no problem chasing you on
base.
You
don't have any more arrests in Philadelphia?
No, that was it for the arrests. Now, remember yesterday was National Signing Day. Now, yep. I know you probably saw this. The Jacob Copeland, mm-hmm. whose mom got up and walked off after he made his announcement. Now, his mom was sitting next to him wearing a Crimson Tide sweatshirt and a Tennessee Volunteers knit cap. Mark says he has it.
And Mark's giving you
that. I'm taking my time too, for the next 3 to 4 years.
You got Jacob, you're going to Florida. Who just got up and left there and to your right? Who got up and left?
Oh, that was my mom.
And why did she walk out and leave?
I don't know. I don't know exactly why she walked out, but yeah.
Shame on her. I mean, flat out shame on her. It's your son's moment. Your son is getting a full scholarship to go play at a 4-year university, and you on national TV got up and walked away from him. First of all, shame on you for wearing an Alabama sweater and a Tennessee hat at the same time.
What school did the kid pick?
Florida.
Does that make any sense to anybody? She's wearing Bama and Tennessee, and then the kid goes to Florida? What the heck?
Sometimes you do what your parents don't want. My buddy Carnell actually puts on there and goes, what would happen if Kane picks Florida? I just responded, Kane knows better.
There'd be some disownery going on, wouldn't there?
Yeah, all the money that we're saving for your college fund, that's now called the Dad and Urania Vacation Fund.
Going to Punta Cana.
Hey, you're not going to Florida, I can tell you that much.
All right, well, searching for stories today, I was on Hot Clicks, and the lady of the day on Hot Clicks is, I don't even know how to pronounce her first name, it's Lais, L-A-I-S, Ribeiro, Sports Illustrated.
L-A-I-S.
So that would be the research material today.
Ribeiro?
Ribeiro.
Okay.
Somebody asked, was the poop eater arrested? I don't think that's a crime. It's just disgusting. Take a break. We come back. What do you got coming up in the 1 o'clock hour? We got big stuff. Big things. We're going to do an NBA fast break next. Isaiah on the move, and the Hawks, they're already a trading. That's all next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Let's run. It's our NBA fast break. Hey, John, did you get that piece of meat out of your mouth?
I did. It was stuck down at the bottom of my tongue.
You get it successfully out of there?
I had to stick a finger in there and wedge it out.
How'd that transaction go for
you? It was good because it was like that you know how you have that last bite of food and it gets stuck in places you don't want?
Uh-huh.
And you really want that last bite of food? It was good. It was that final piece of lunch that made everything better. You know what will make a lot of people feel better right now, Rick? Giving them a pair of tickets to see the advanced screening of Black Panther. The movie goes down at the AMC Parkway Point off Cobb Parkway in Atlanta. Black Panther does hit theaters on Friday, February the 16th. And for all station contest rules, visit 929thegame.com/rules. 404-741-0929. 404-741-0929. Caller number 3 will get a pair of passes to see Black Panther.
One of my pet peeves is on Monitor 1. And it's not Casey Stern or David Aldridge of NBA TV. Those are my guys. David Aldridge's tie is so freaking crooked.
Yeah.
Please, somebody, for the love of God, help David Aldridge. He's busy. He's taking calls from Danny Ainge and Stan Van Gundy and Travis Schlenk. Please help him straighten his tie.
Not just that. His collar's like over top of the suit. It's like kind of... It's all discombobulated.
He's busy.
You know, what happened was he was in the back chilling, and then all of a sudden they go, Isaiah Thomas just got traded. Go. And he just ran to get on the set.
Love me some David Aldridge.
By the
Hall
way,
of Famer.
Real quick before we get to the NBA fast break, a couple of people text in, said the player Jacob Copeland, the reason his mother was mad was allegedly the kid's in a gang in Florida somewhere, and I guess she was trying to get him away from that element. That's the allegations from the Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line.
Guess we all just need to retreat and sit the bleep down that one.
You know what?
We?
She still shouldn't stand up and steal her son's moment. I'm sorry.
I agree. But if she has legitimate concern for the well-being and health and future of her son, like getting him out of whatever that is, you can understand her being ticked off. But to your point, that's your boy's moment, and you should give it to him. I wish that family well.
Let's do an NBA fast break here on Sports Radio 92.9. the game. First and foremost, we'll talk about the Hawks trade. It's nothing of substance as of yet, but the Hawks have made a move today. Luke Babbitt, who's shooting about 45% from downtown, he is no longer a member of the Atlanta Hawks. They now have Akaro White. They traded Luke Babbitt back to Miami.
You're my boy. I'm not dissing you, but let's move on to a juicy trade that just went down.
What just happened?
Yeah, Adrian Wojnarowski must follow, at least for today. Utah has traded Rodney Hood to Cleveland.
Whoa!
League sources tell ESPN. Utah will also send Joe Johnson to Sacramento. Now, why you got to do Joe Johnson like that? Come on, man. Sacramento. Cleveland will send Jay Crowder and Derrick Rose to Utah.
Okay.
Derrick Rose has been exiled to Salt Lake City. Oh, my God. Oh, and Sacramento sends George Hill to the Cavs. The Cavs have added Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance Jr., Rodney Hood, and George Hill?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and basically,
what a banner day for the Cavs.
Well, and what happened was the guys they got from Boston and the Kyrie Irving trade, they realized these guys all suck. And they don't, well, they don't suck, but they just don't fit with LeBron. So they've exiled all of them. Jay Crowder is a very tradable asset, a very good player. But you're getting Rodney Hood, who can shoot it. You're getting, I can't stand George Hill. I think George Hill, and he is on my most overpaid NBA players list, making $20 million a year to be a flat-out stiff. But you got rid of another stiff in Derrick Rose. So they have taken their backcourt. They've gone from Derrick Rose and Isaiah Thomas, who didn't fit, and flip that into George Hill, who will be LeBron's yes man. Go stand and shoot a spot up three. Rodney Hood and Jordan Clarkson. That is a huge upgrade for LeBron as the general manager and a player.
Total upgrade, man. And if you're a Cavaliers fan, you should be excited. Look, these trades don't make Cleveland better than Golden State. These trades get Cleveland right back to the top of the Eastern Conference in terms of you still got to go through Boston, you still got to get through Toronto and Washington. They're legitimate contenders. But right now, whereas like yesterday, we were like, boy, I don't know if the Cavs are going to win the East this year. Like, I'm back to thinking the Cavs are going to win the East. I mean, they have brought in a ton of talent.
Also out in that deal, Amon Shumpert going to Sacramento. That just dropped as well.
So Cleveland has dumped their trash on Sacramento and on Utah. Derrick Rose, good riddance. I'm not a fan of that dude. You know, John, what was the beginning of the end of Derrick Rose for me was when he said, I'm saving myself because I want to be able to walk around and run around with my kids and not be sore in meetings.
Right.
That's what he said. Okay. I don't want to be sore in meetings after I'm done playing.
Well, I think
what
in Utah,
the hell are you talking about? Sore in meetings.
In Utah, he can sit out as many games as we want, and let's be frank, nobody outside of Salt Lake City is really going to care.
I can tell you right now, this has buyout written all over it for Derrick Rose. I know he doesn't want to be in Salt Lake City. They're not going to want him. His game is awful. This might be the end of the line for Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose legitimately might not be an NBA player next year. Think about it. He's on a one-year, but like $2 million deal with the Cavaliers. And it was sort of a, all right, fine, we'll sign Derrick Rose. There's nobody else we want. He may be done.
I'm trying to go through right now all the guys that are gone from Cleveland today. So Isaiah Thomas, gone. Amon Shumpert, gone. Channing Crowder, or not Channing Crowder.
That's your boy.
Jake, I'd rather them have Channing Crowder than Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder, gone. Your boy Channing Frye, gone. Derrick Rose, gone. Who am I missing?
No, that's it.
That's it. You know the only thing, and they did give up a.
They took out the trash.
They
John.
Gave up a draft pick, which has not been named. At worst,
it has. It's their pick,
okay.
So it'll be
like 27,
25,
yeah.
26, 27. I believe it was. It is protected as well.
Okay, so in that you return George Hill, who I'm not really a fan of. You get Jordan Clarkson, good player, not great, but a good player, fits the role,
solid player
in this mold as well. You're also getting back Rodney Hood. Guy who could shoot it and doesn't cost him a whole heck of a lot of nothing. Who else am I missing in this, Rick?
And the Cavaliers are also scooping up. Why am I missing it here? Larry Nance Jr.
Larry Nance Jr.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So look, they're adding three smalls. When you talk about Hill, Clarkson, and Hood, and then Larry Nance is a 3/4.
Yeah, but they're only giving up. So, I mean, Crowder's a three, but he's. And Channing Frye's a big only in height. Mm-hmm. I mean, Channing Frye sits on the three-point line. Does this open up for them potentially going, all right, I go after DeAndre Jordan now, or have they traded away too many of the bad contracts?
I'm glad you asked, John. They cannot trade for DeAndre Jordan, and I will explain why in a moment.
Okay.
Thanks to Kevin Cottrell, just a phenomenal researcher over at NBA TV. So I get the emails from him, and he's got the reported trades in this email. Mm-hmm. All right, John, it says right here, note, the Cavs are no longer allowed to trade the first-round pick they obtained from the Celtics via the Nets until the draft.
Ah.
So, and I don't know, you know, line item 75, subsection C of the rule book, right? I don't know why, but Kevin Cottrell would not be sending that out to all of us peeps with NBA TV unless it was legit. So the Cavs, if they want to flip that pick, which I don't think they do, I think they're going to want to use that to get the asset in this rich draft of talent. But they, even if they wanted to, John, they could not trade this the Brooklyn pick right now before the deadline.
Be very interesting now. How does that change the offseason for LeBron James? Because all the talk for the last 2 months is LeBron is out of there. He also said he wasn't going to waive his no-trade clause. Now all of a sudden you bring in, and again, this isn't front-level talent in Hill and Clarkson and Hood and Nance, but as a team, it should make them better.
But you get a lot more athletic. Nance is an athlete. Clarkson has zip. He's not a jump out of the gym guy, but he's athletic enough. George Hill is still a pesky defender and still can move around the court really well. He's an upgrade.
And can shoot an open three.
Yeah, and think about it. Think about the guys they got rid of. Iman Shumpert is a dead man in this league. Channing Frye, unathletic. Isaiah Thomas, John, horrible defender.
Hold up. We're going to add one more to this. Would you believe this? Cleveland making another trade. Adrian Wojnarowski just treating it. I'll let you read it.
Are you sure? Was it the Woj bot?
It's the blue check one.
I don't believe this. It says
blue check, Adrian Wojnarowski.
I know, but it says Cleveland is trading Dwayne Wade to Miami. So, wow. Really?
Yeah.
This is shocking. All right, so we got to chew on. So what this tells me, all of these moves, John, increase athleticism and get rid of old guys who aren't athletic and lack that zip. Every single guy that they have shipped out is like old, sagging, dying, and they're bringing in some fresh blood. No, for real.
So
D-Wade going back to Miami. That's your favorite player, John.
Favorite player ever. This is amazing what Cleveland has just done. D-Wade to Miami, and Cleveland has literally, in an hour, reshaped their entire team. Let me ask you this, Rick. Complete reactionary, 107. Does Cleveland win the East?
Yeah.
And I tend to agree.
Yeah, I had kind of given up on that, but now they have turned the deficit in athleticism into, I think, a positive and a strength. And you know what else this is an admission of, John, is that the Kyrie Irving trade was a debacle. It was a disaster.
Horrible.
Because they've traded Isaiah Thomas, who they got in the deal. They've traded Jay Crowder, who they got in the deal. They are admitting right now that trade was god-awful. And think about it. Like, now you look about why did they do it, right? They should have just kept Kyrie Irving and tried to – think about it. Oh, they had to trade him. It was you know, messy and awful and all this kind of stuff. Do you remember when Kobe Bryant went to Mitch Kupchak and said – this is, I don't know, 10 years ago – and said, I want to be traded. Get me out of here. And Mitch Kupchak was like, sorry, Kobe, I'm not trading you. And guess what they went on to do? They won two championships with Kobe Bryant with Pau Gasol, right? Sometimes the best trades you make are the ones you don't make.
You're right. They shouldn't have traded Kyrie Irving. They'd still be the favorites in the East. But I guess LeBron's a pain in the rear end to play alongside. He wants things his way. I'm still blown away Dwayne Wade's going back to Miami. I know it doesn't matter. Dwayne Wade is at the end of his career. He's supposed to retire in a Heat jersey.
I got to be honest with you, dude. I think because during the break, I'll have a little bit more time to think on this, but just first blush here on this Dwayne Wade thing. Mm-hmm. That's a bit of a bleep you to LeBron James from Cavaliers management.
A little bit.
Do you think LeBron James wanted Dwayne Wade, his best buddy, his brother? And I'm not poo-pooing that. They legitimately are best buddies. They're brothers and all that. I give that to him without any, you know, snarkiness or cynicism. Do you think LeBron James wanted his brother, his road dog, traded?
Probably
I don't.
Not.
I mean, who knows? Maybe he did. I doubt it. And so to me, all of these moves have improved the Cavs. And maybe we'll find out what Cleveland gets in return for sending Dwayne Wade to Miami.
Tyler Johnson.
But I cannot imagine that LeBron James would be happy about Dwayne Wade being traded. So these moves feel like John, it's about appeasing LeBron, right, and putting the right pieces around LeBron. Okay, check. I'm happy with this check. But trading Dwayne Wade, that's a departure from appeasing LeBron James to me.
Here's what Cleveland got in return, a heavily protected second-round pick for D. Wade. I'm not even sure what that is. It probably means a pick they'll never get.
Wow.
Basically, that was here. We're just
I'm shocked. I am shocked that Dwayne Wade is going back to Miami. I think it's cool. You know, it's
Pat Riley's back on my good side right now. Back on my good side. Now just trade Hassan Whiteside in the next 2 hours and we're good.
So, I mean, let's think about this from the Miami aspect of it. Like, how much better does this make Miami? Does it make Miami better?
Because
the Heat are in playoff contention, of course. They've got injuries. Deion Waiters is out for the year. And so, I don't know. Maybe Dwayne Wade can sort of rekindle the Fountain of Youth kind of thing down there in Miami. I'll tell you this much. An old bag of bones like Dwayne Wade, they feel a whole lot better in warm climates than they do in cold climates. And I've had a lot of ball players tell me that. Like, that's real. You know, going down to Phoenix, going out to L.A., your body just feels so much better.
Yeah, I am shocked with that one. That one's kind of blown me away a little bit just because the fact that that is his best friend. That is the open, you know, we're boys. I came to Miami for you. You came to Cleveland for me. Again, Cleveland is doing whatever they can to try to get back to the NBA Finals. Does it put them over the top to beat Golden State? No. I'm not sure that it has them beat Boston, but I would bet on LeBron and a healthy Kevin Love being able to get past Boston with guys now that are going to play their role and play defense.
Well, they're going to go ultra small now with this lineup. Kevin Love was already their five, and now it's going to be Kevin Love and four guards. And, you know, LeBron James isn't a guard, but he kind of is. Adrian Wojnarowski is framing the Dwayne Wade move like this. This is his tweet. As Cleveland remade its roster with young athletic wing players, okay, check, right? Organization gave him a chance to return home, gave Wade a chance to return home to Miami, and worked out a deal to send him back to the Heat. So essentially, it's an organizational philosophical shift. We have to get more athletic.
Right.
We have to get bouncier. We have to get more active, and Dwayne Wade doesn't fit into that profile. So we want to move Dwayne Wade. All right, Dwayne, you want to go back to Miami, right? Mm-hmm. All right, Pat Riley, you want him back, right? So that kind of sounds good and feels good.
Right.
I don't know if it's absolutely the truth. But on paper, it looks good that Cleveland kind of hooked up Dwayne, sending him back to Miami.
Real quick to tie it back to the Hawks, we mentioned at the very beginning before all the Woj bombs hit, Luke Babbitt has been traded, Akaro White coming back. Akaro White, very athletic, good player. Guys kind of bounce between the D-League and the NBA. There's also apparently talks that Marco Bellinelli will be traded before the deadline, and Miami could be the suitor. In division, Hawks may be working out some stuff with the Heat. We take a break. We come back. If you missed it earlier, Georgia has the number one recruiting class in the country. And Roddy Nabolsi joined us earlier. He's coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Kirby Smart's there with that shoulder to cry on. You know, he slides into those DMs and makes things happen.
This is John.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.